Welcome, everybody, to the Sports Card Strategy Show. I run a website called nooffseason.com, and my name is Paul Hickey, and I'm super happy to have you here. Whether you're new to the show or a loyal audience member, we're here to help you with your sports card investing. We also have a little bit of entertainment value along the way. Today, I'm here with two gentlemen that I respect and like very much. Lefty McKee, all of you know. What's up, Lefty?
What's up, boys? Denny one time. How we doing?
And we've got Duke Denny one time Dotson from Graybo's Sports Cards in Richmond, Virginia. What's up, Duke?
What's up, guys? Very excited to join you this morning.
Duke's our third man in today. No Chad Gill, but don't worry. Chad will be with us again next week. And I've got some notes from Chad, the doctor analyst of sports cards. And no surprise here, we've got our main man, Oh My Shoes. He's like always the first live commenter in. Oh My Shoes is the new star of our Thursday live show called the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell. Shoes brought it strong Thursday. For those of you who missed the episode, you can go back to youtube.com/Paul Hickey and check it out. But Shoes had an amazing segment. And Southern Soccer Idiots in the house.
Yo.
What's up, SSI? Hope you're doing well. And of course, Mr. Ryan Baruski. Yeah, don't worry, Ryan. We've got Chad. There's some insights from Chad today, and Duke's going to bring it strong. So real quick, before we get started, I do want to talk about Graybo's Sports Cards in Richmond, Virginia. We're going to hear more from Duke in a minute, but Graybo's Sports Cards is a hobby shop opened recently, just a couple months ago, by Duke and his partners Ryan Fitz and Gray Burnett. These three guys collected cards as kids. They fell out of the hobby for a few years, as many of us did, and they're back since 2021. They put their heads together, decided to create the ultimate experience for sports cards collectors and investors in the Arts District of Richmond, which I am excited to visit in June. We're going to have more on that, but I'll be there in June. We're going to have a nice little Father's Day weekend set of events there. Graybo's sells wax, raw singles, and graded singles. They run breaks every Tuesday night on Instagram Live. That's Graybo's _ cards on Instagram. And also check out graybo's.co, their website. Couple other admin notes here for those of you interested. Go to nooffseason.com. Check out our content there. As I mentioned, we help you with your sports card investing strategies and some entertainment value along the way. I want you to get a year free of our premium content. To do that, email me at paul@nooffseason.com to find out how. And we're going to jump into the show today. I want to kick things off with the L of the week. We typically kick things off with our L of the week. What was a loss from last week? And let's start with you, Lefty. What's your L of the week from last week?
So my personal L of the week, which in a way is kind of a W of the week as well, because I didn't expect this even in general, was the Thunder losing to the Minnesota Timberwolves. My team finally goes down. But to be honest, what a season for my guys. We expected them to be in the race for Wembanyama. They made the play-in. You know, Jay Wills is probably going to be second in Rookie of the Year votings. Chet Holmgren's coming back next year. We got a squad. We got picks. It's a fun time. But L is the season's over. SGA, what a guy. And Gideon SGA together is just so fun. But my card slash playoffs L of the week is Tyler Hero breaking his hand. That is tough. You know, I mean, the Heat with Jimmy Butler and Hero and Bam, like the card from the card perspective, those three guys, if you were invested in a Miami Heat player, probably you went pretty balls deep on Tyler Hero, I would imagine, if that was the team that you were honing in on. And breaking his hand in game one is tough. They showed pretty well against the Bucks, which is unfortunate for your guy, Paul. And maybe you're going to talk about that in a deeper way. But with Tyler Hero breaking his hand and then making a three after he broke his hand. Pretty incredible. And then leaving the game. That's just tough. And then with the Major League Baseball, there's just so many injuries. I think a lot of people are quick to say that the WBC is what's causing a lot of this. I don't believe that. I think every year there's just more and more injuries every year. Like I even remember at this point last year, there was still a ton of injuries early in the season. And baseball is just a hard sport. You're pushing your body to the absolute limits, to get exit velocities and just miles per hour from your shoulder. It's not, your body's not designed to do that. So I think you're going to continue to have injuries if we're still pushing the envelope on what the human body is capable of.
Yeah, a lot of baseball injuries. I'm trying to write this fab article for Fantasy Guru for baseball. It's just so hard to keep up with everything that's going on. That's not my L of the week, but it's really
another L of the week for us, me and you, is how dang confusing our CBS league is with with Masora. I was just
we love Bob's Card Market, but Rob Masora has got this really confusing fantasy baseball league going. But we love you, Rob.
Oh man, I feel like I have a different question every day in that Discord, and then I'm always just getting blasted.
Yeah, and Rob's super organized. I love that about him. So he's like he's on us to like be on top of things in the league. But Shoes is in the house. He says that his son had a few hero cards, and that is definitely a loss. You mentioned Giannis real quick. I think Giannis is a long-term hold, so I'm not super worried about him. Hopefully he'll be back for game two. We don't know. I guess x-rays were negative. I know the back is nothing to mess with, but if it is like contusion, that hopefully isn't like actual issue with the back and maybe just a bruise. Just want to say hello to Ziggy. Ziggy's in the house. He's going to make it over to Graybo's. He's going to make it over to Graybo's for sure. So that's good. All right, Duke, over to you, man. What's your goal of the week?
Well, shout out to Ziggy. I think it was Ziggy that gave us the good feedback on the show and tell on Thursday for our question about the Jordans. So I look forward to meeting you, Ziggy. Because this is my first time with you guys, and I reached out to Paul originally because this show has been so influential for me and our shop. And I reached out the day we opened literally to Paul because of all the cards we had in our shop because of your show. So I hope you'll let me go back a little farther than a week to talk about my L of the month. I think you'll find it entertaining. So we obviously bought some Cam Thomas back at the end of last year because you and Gary were getting me hyped about Cam Thomas. Bought a big one. I'll show it to you here. It's a /215 auto PSA 10 Donruss purple. So I got what I thought at the time was a good deal. Got it for $350. There was a comp back then for $1,000. I think that was a fake, like a never completed comp. But nonetheless, I thought I got a good deal. When Cam Thomas started going crazy, wanted to auction off the card, and I never do auctions, and this is why I messed this one up. And I'm terrified of just my auction getting lost in eBay land and it going for a ridiculously low price. So I set a reserve on it, which in retrospect was a bad idea. But so this got up to like $650, but my reserve was higher than that, and so it didn't sell. So I said, okay, let's put it back up there and make the reserve $500, and it sold again for exactly $500, and then it didn't complete. The guy never paid, and then Cam Thomas stopped getting playing time, and so that's why I still have the Cam Thomas. So that's my L of the month.
There will probably be more Cam Thomas in the future.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think so. I was going to say, I think that is a outstanding L in terms of like education for the audience, because I've never set a reserve on an auction. I have seen that option. It's interesting that you did that, and thank you for sharing. Definitely like an L in terms of the timing, because there was like that three game stretch. And I think he flashed a little bit before the three straight 40 point games. So nobody really saw it coming in terms of the three straight 40 point games, but you could see him getting some playing time and scoring some points. He was averaging like a point a minute there for a while. And then when they acquired Mikal Bridges, it was kind of like, and they also picked up,
Cam Johnson.
Yeah, Johnson, but also another guard that escaped.
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Dinwiddie. Yeah, it was Dinwiddie because like he was with the Nets and then Dallas and back to the Nets. Thank you, Lefty. Dinwiddie is who I was thinking of. So I think Dinwiddie and obviously Bridges stealing the show and playing time back from Cam Thomas. But I could see Cam Thomas moving in a trade this offseason. That could spike his value. I could then see him succeeding with the team that he gets traded to. So I think that L could be a W. Hopefully it's a W of the week for you in the fall.
Me and you both.
We'll see. Yeah, exactly. I was fortunate enough to have just sold my Cam Thomases during that three-game stretch and made a little bit of money on it. But my L of the week is – so this is TBD, but to me it's an initial L. So I've been buying a lot of Jordans and other legendary retired athletes or active GOATs, but I've been buying them under the Dr. Chad Gill strategy of buying CSG and SGC slabs to crack. And so as part of that strategy, I've been buying a lot of CSG 10s because of a high crossover rate, crack and submit to PSA to try to get a PSA 10. Now, this is not to say that these cards won't get PSA 10s, but initially I've noticed a lot of CSG 10s that I've purchased appear to be, without even looking at them with a ruler, off-centered. So like this Michael Jordan CSG 10 1990 Fleer, you're probably not going to be able to tell, but I'm holding it up and it's off
to right.
Like it's off center left to right. Like there's less white space on the right hand side of the card. There's more white space clearly on the left hand side of the card. And I fear a PSA 9 from this. And I think I paid about 170. The PSA 10 goes for about anywhere between 220 and 250, depending. And so there's not going to be a whole lot of room for profit margin anyway in a PSA 10, but there would be some in a PSA 9. I mean, I think you're significantly under $100. So anyway, that's an L of the week, but I will be doing, I have about 20 or 30 of these types of slabs to crack. I've got some Griffey 89s. I've got even some, you know, Jalen Hurts 2020 prisms and stuff like that. Some Dak Prescott optic rookies. Just a lot of the cards that we've sort of spec'd out and comped out that could crack and grade nicely and yield a little bit of a profit, maybe $20 to $50 profit kind of a thing. So I'm just laughing at Borowski's comment here about who it was graded by at CSG. anyway, we'll see. I'm going to do a video later though on the channel, youtube.com/Paul Hickey that shows me cracking all of the slabs. And then I will document the process all the way down. So that's my L of the week. I'm going to go over to my W of the week since I'm currently talking, and then we'll get back to you guys. And this is courtesy of Mr. Chad Gill, who we had to kick off the show today in honor of Duke Dotson at Graybo. So Chad, this is for you. This is our W of the week here. Chad and I, you will recall, loyal Sports Card Strategy Show listeners, Chad talked about a Clayton Kershaw Topps update 2008 rookie that he bought in an SGC 9.5. All in, he's $188 in, including the $169 for the card and $19 for the grading fee. I am happy to report, courtesy of Mr. Chad Gill, to the entire Sports Card Strategy Show audience, that this card did receive a PSA 10. So congrats to Chad Gill for scouting out an SGC 9.5, being all in at $188, cracking it himself, submitting it to PSA in a bulk value submission, getting back a PSA 10, which the most recent sale of is $680. So he is in a projected profit of $492 on this play. So while I may have scouted out an L of the week for the strategy, Chad definitely is executing it very, very well. So W of the week for the Sports Card Strategy Show, courtesy of Chad Gill. Needed to give him a shout out there. Great work and just proof that this does work if you can pull it off the right way and be patient and strategic about it. Another W of the week for me, card related W of the week, just in general for the audience. I believe this PSA grading specials that came out, the one that I have my eye on is the $16 per card declared value limit of $299. That doesn't mean a whole lot. It just means that you're probably not going to be able to submit a card of $300 or more in total value without getting an upcharge for this. But $16 per card, you know, continues to be a great value. And what's interesting about this lefty is the 25 card minimum is now down to maybe not. Was it 20? Was it always 20?
Yeah.
It was always 20. Okay. For some reason, I thought it was 25. My bad. 40 business day turnaround. That's pretty good. So, I mean, $16 per card. This is Collectors Club membership, which I believe is about $80 a year. 40 business day turnaround, $16 per card. I think that's another great W of the week. Lefty, what are you thinking? What do you got for your W of the week?
Yeah, well, I'm pretty bummed because last week I submitted a 20 card submission at $20 a piece. So that would have saved me at least a couple bucks. But I had a bunch of, so me and a buddy of mine went in together on a bulk submission. We did about 10 cards a piece. And I just started sending I know Paul loves my submissions because he's just like, what a random, like,
it's so random
selection of things. And I'm just like, hey, man, if I can make green on a PSA submission, I'm sending it. So it's everything from like Sports Illustrated for kids to like Bowman Chrome Autos. Like, it's just everything in between. I'm sending soccer, baseball. I almost sent this Michael Jordan card because I think I'm going to get a PSA 9 on this. And I got it for free. So it is what it is.
Send it.
My win of the week is here at the Sports Card Strategy Show. We had a soccer card show last Wednesday. We have a baseball card show this Wednesday, and we are going to update our baseball card rankings. So I'm working hard this week to make sure our baseball card rankings are as fresh as possible. This week we'll have a brand new setting of sports card rankings for the baseball players specifically for the next 6 to 12 months. That's the lens with which we look through, I think, is really important to keep in mind. Like, we are talking about this list being the top 50 or so investments for the next 6 to 12 months. Now, some of these are just such a good win over the long term, they're going to make this list anyway. For instance, like, you know, Shohei is going to make this list because I think he's good in the 6 to 12 months, but he's also a good investment just because he's generational. You know, he's going to be one of the best buys of our time, you know, for us to look long term, 10, 15 years down the road. I think Shohei will be just super high numbers. So if you have anything that you want to invest in that wants to go up in 15 years, I would invest in a really significant Shohei Ohtani card. But so I'm really excited about that, and I'm excited about Bowman Baseball 23 coming out April 26th, so that is 9 days away, a little over a week. And here is a little snippet of what I think about this. I am not buying Drew Jones. He's going to be a big chase in this product. He's going to go for a freaking butt ton of money in this product, and I'm not interested. His swing is gross looking right now. I don't like it.
All right. Interesting. Yeah, no, I think that, like, we talk about this a lot in terms of when a new release comes out. It's probably best to avoid the big names in that new release right away, and maybe everybody in the new release. While it is interesting, and like, getting in breaks is a little bit different, right? But I'm talking specifically about buying singles. So, mm-hmm. like, if you want to get into the wax, get into the breaks, that's different. Do that. See who you get. But in terms of like buying Drew Jones singles on the secondary market, that kind of thing, I would definitely wait a year.
Oh, absolutely. Right? I would go for 2022 Bowman right
yeah,
now.
Go. We always talk about that. But for those of you who are new to the show, that's a great strategy, is like, go back to the 2022 Bowman after this release hits, right? And so, but anyway, back to what you said about the W of the week being the updated rankings at no offseason, props from Mr. Ryan Barusky to you and the rest of the team at nooffseason.com. He says he's been going through those rankings recently and is amazed by the insight and the body of knowledge. We appreciate that. I do want to throw out that we have updated all of our card data at nooffseason.com, and that's over 300 players. Unlike Market Movers and some of the other apps out there who do a great job, we're not trying to give you data on every single card that you could possibly buy. We're focusing on the cards that we think are the most investable cards per player. And that's what you get when you click down into our player profiles. And again, for those of you who haven't done this, Shoes, I'm calling you out. I don't think you've done this, brother. Get a year free. Get a year for free. Email me at paul@nooffseason.com and you can check that out. And, Chad in the comments is also talking about basically to my win of the week a second ago as well. He's saying the Collectors Club at PSA is essentially free, free $100 for the year because they give you a free $100 loop credit apparently. So that's another great insight from Chad in the comments. And we want to get over to Duke for his W of the week. Duke, what do you got for us?
Also stepping back a little bit in time, just because it's a relevant player, a guy that Lefty's been touting for a while is Indy Rodriguez. So last year bought three decent-sized Indies. I still got the big one in Lefty. So my big one I have not sold yet is the Sapphire to 10, PSA 10, Auto 10. It's a beauty. It's like so beautiful, I'm not sure I want to sell it, but probably would. But the one we did sell, so we bought a raw Sapphire to 25 for $418 on eBay, got it graded, only got an 8 on the grade, but still sold it for $1,000. Sold it about four weeks ago, something like that, which I think is around the same time, Lefty, that you sold yours. And I'd love to just hear thoughts on, if you haven't sold him yet, when's the next window? Or is the window still there now? Or has the window closed for a bit on him? But that's my W of the week is, a profitable indie transaction.
Love it. Lefty, you want to take this?
Yeah. Luckily, I think the window for indie is open and going to be open for a little bit. I think if you haven't sold one yet, he's destroying baseball still. He's still being Indy Rodriguez, which is fantastic. I feel like a proud dad at this point, you know, because I'm out of most of his cards. I have one Bowman Chrome Auto that I'm basically just keeping for like a base Bowman Chrome Auto that I'm just keeping for like memento. But it, for me, it's like Indy is going to be a guy in the future for this Pirates team. I saw the Pirates on Thursday live. They're terrible. Like they're winning games right now and their power ranking is fine, but they're bad. And O'Neill Cruz going down is they still need players to come in this team. Austin Hedges is the catcher on this team when I was watching it in the Cardinals. Like they need somebody they need more people to give life. So these young players coming up for the Pirates is going to be huge. I believe Indy will be up sooner rather than later. And Duke, I would just sell either Indy. You could list him right now, but I would say that first week when you hear about some of his stuff going to the major leagues, list it at auction and don't be afraid of setting that minimum. Indy Rodriguez is going to fly. But I wouldn't keep him past the opening day of him making, like, get rid of the card when he's going up to the major leagues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to ask you too, Duke. What did you buy the one that you're looking to list for again?
The big one we got for like $1,600.
Okay, so one thing I've been doing on my auction, I'm an auction guy over a buy it now or best offer. I just get crappy offers from people all the time. And when I don't have an or best offer on it, when I have a buy it now, like nobody ever buys it. So even if it's like well-priced for whatever reason, I don't know why, but the auctions just work better for me. And so with my higher priced auctions, I just have a very high opening bid, but it typically works. And so I know like a $1,600 card, like anything close to $1,600 is going to be too high for an opening bid, but I wouldn't be afraid to set the opening bid at like $399 or even $499 or something like that. And I would, be interesting to see what happens if and when you do list that. But I would say, yeah, to Lefty's point, like list it as soon as there is some call-up hype and then have it in, like, I would have it at like a 10-day auction just to give yourself some more runway on getting some bids. And then that way, like, you get a lot of bids in during the call up hype, and then you don't have to worry too much about how he performs. So if you get it in a window where maybe there's like 3 days left in the auction after he gets called up, then you're kind of like, you've got a lot of the high bids in already initially. And then if he does have like a huge debut, you get some extra bonus from that. But if he doesn't, there's still enough hype and TBD-ness around him to where I think you end that auction pretty strong. But that's kind of my overall thought.
Yeah, it's got to get over my auction fear. I think if I do a lot of it, I'll realize you win some, you lose some, but from, you know, you'll average pretty well, I would assume, based on what you're saying.
Yeah, and don't worry too much about, like, I mean, generally, there's not that much that happens within the first day. Typically, within, like, in day two for me, there's a lot of action. I start to promote my auctions usually, like, day two. Day three through 8 or 9, there's like nothing. So don't freak out. There's more and more watchers, but there's really not that many extra bids. But then like on day 10, like the last day of your 10-day auction is when you start to see those watchers turn into bids and things start to kind of look up. So Borusky says he loves the Graybo's logo and he's got to get a t-shirt. I agree. I like
that. I was just thinking that. I was like, wow, solid logo. I don't know.
We have them right there, Mr. Borusky. So shoot us a DM on Instagram and your mailing address. We'll get you one.
Sounds good. All right. So let's get to who we're buying. So I like to go where they ain't. You guys have probably heard me say that before if you listened to the show before. If this is your first time consuming our content here, again, welcome. And what I mean by that is while there's the NBA playoffs happening, while there's baseball happening, I like to look for what else is going on. Well, the NFL draft is happening as well, but the 2024 NFL draft is not happening yet. And so I'm looking at a guy called Caleb Williams, the Heisman Trophy winner from a year ago, USC's quarterback, and the projected number one overall pick in the 2024 NBA draft. There's a lot of boxes that Caleb Williams checks. So last year, if you recall, Lefty, he only had Leaf autos and they were gross. But now he's got Bowman U Chrome autos, not just Bowman U Chrome autos, first Bowmans, but not just that, licensed first Bowmans. This is going to be a topic that we get into a lot on this show as we follow the fact that the 2021 release of Bowman U was unlicensed. And you've got first Bowmans of guys like CJ Stroud, Kenny Pickett, Bryce Young. But then you've got 2022 Bowmans of CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, not first, but licensed. Well, Caleb, our guy Caleb, has the full package. First Bowman, Chrome, licensed autos. I picked up one for myself in an SGC 1010 listed at $599. I got it for $449 in my offer. So I was really excited about this. And I think that, you know, his autos are being listed for around $250 or best offer. This is the base auto. It's not serial numbered or anything like that. The serial numbered ones are going for much higher, as well as the other inserts, variations, etc. But this card, I think, is going to be one that takes off. There's a lot of markers coming up, right? Like you've got not only the August football season hype with him playing, you're going to have some back-to-back Heisman hype. You may have some college football playoff hype. Then you're going to have the NFL draft hype. Then you're going to have the next August football 2024 hype as he goes into his rookie season. There's not going to be any pro releases out for a long time. So this card, this set of cards, has a huge runway. Lefty, before we get to who you're buying, what do you think of this? Am I on the right track here?
Yeah, I love Caleb Williams. I think that's we talked about him very briefly, like during the college football season, where I was like, if there was a guy that I was buying, it would have been him. Just because he had an extra, like he had another year, like the Bryce Young. I think Bryce Young's gonna be pretty good. I saw a comp yesterday where he's going to be more like Drew Brees. He's going to play that kind of a game, which I'm fine with. But I'd rather have Caleb Williams just because of the pedigree, the body of work, the size, the stuff he's already had to work through. I just would rather project on him. And I'm completely out on Will Levis. So, you know, so don't even talk to me about him. But anyway, Caleb is a guy that I like. He's a guy that looks like an NFL quarterback. He looks like and carries himself like he's going to be a good quarterback. So I think that's a solid buy. Plus, I'm proud of you, Paul. It's a little bit out of your 6 to 12 window.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it's definitely more of a long-term play. I'm going to challenge myself to actually hold this for about 18 months, even 20 months.
Sheesh, bro.
But I mean, if
I'm going to have to chain you to the desk so you don't list this thing for an auction.
This thing could be gone in like a few weeks, but
sheesh.
No, I do think that it's a good, it's one in the 10-10 SGC. I'm going to get it. I'm going to sit on it for a while. Maybe I crack it, send it to PSA. If it does come back a PSA 10-10, I think that then it is even more valuable. And then I do think, you know, barring injury, this thing should only go up and to the right, and I may even buy more. But anyway, Lefty, who are you buying, man?
Yeah, I kind of did the go where they ain't type thing as well. So I was looking at market movers this week, and I just was able to see that there was some green trends when there hasn't been on Joe Burrow. Not every card, and you got to be sneaky, but if I'm going to buy into a quarterback, I love Joey Burr. Like, oh man, I'm a Browns fan, and I will turn a Bengals game on just to watch Joe Burrow. Like, he's amazing. Like, I just love watching him. Anyway, so Joe Burrow is a guy that I am, I think buying is, I'm going to put it in quotes, I am researching Joe Burrow right now. I think I'm starting to see green trends on market movers saying that people are, you know, not, it's not so hyped right now, which is strange because the draft's coming up, I believe this week or next week. Is it the 26th?
I think it's 2 weeks.
Okay.
So yeah, I think it would be not this Thursday, but the following Thursday. Yep.
Yeah. So I'm interested in Joe Burrow again. I'm always interested in Joe Burrow. So if there's green on the checklist or on the list, I'm in. Another buy is I love Logan Ohapi from the Los Angeles Angels.
Catcher.
The guy,
right?
Yeah, he's a catcher. He hits all the projectables that we like. I chose Indy over Logan because Indy was in a system that I trusted a little more than the Angels. But this guy is like equally as impressive to me. So I am searching for good deals for Logan. I think he's got his Phillies Bowman Chrome Auto. I mean, there's one with 2 days left that's going for about 122. So I'm probably out on that one just because it's higher than I probably want to pay. But there's some good deals on him. And if you can find some good deals, I believe he'll be a guy on this Angels team that if they are going to make the playoffs, they're going to get a lot of showtime. What I mean by that is Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout are going to be on the TV. And Logan is also going to be on the TV because he's on a great team. So, or well, he's not on a great team, but he's with some great players. And so if they make the playoffs, Logan could have some serious run because people are going to learn his name for the first time. So I'm interested in him. O'Neal Cruz, I believe he is about a couple of weeks to a month away from being an absolute buy again. And really unfortunate for him, you know, breaking his leg. But this guy is not going to change the way he plays. Usually broken bones are something you come back from like exactly the same. Like unless you can – really the only thing that people struggle with broken bones is a mentality of saying that they can trust their legs again. I think the way that O'Neal Cruz plays, he's going to be itching to get back on the field. I don't think he's going to be like – real worried and timid when he gets back out there. I think he's going to trust it. And it, to me, I just hope they are able to hold him on the bench long enough that he gets all the healing he needs because he seems like a guy who could rush it back. But I'm interested in buying O'Neal Cruz autos. He's still a guy that's doing things that nobody else is doing. His exit velocities are insane. His speed is incredible. He's ginormous. You know, as a guy. I hope he doesn't end up following. Now, this is going to sound like it's not a buy for me. I hope he doesn't end up following the Giancarlo Stanton body figure where he's injured all the time, but he just hits the ball a mile. I hope, like, as he ages a little bit more gracefully than Stanton. But I think that's something of a risk for us to talk about when we're talking about our card profile. Joe Burrow, Ohop, Cruz, Marcelo Meyer, I'm interested in him. I talked about going back a couple of perspectives in Bowman. He's a guy that I'm interested in going back on. He's a guy that I'm getting more in on right now. I've been doing a lot of auctions on him, trying to snipe some deals and being real patient on Marcelo Meyer. I want a Marcelo Meyer autograph. I think he's going to be quickly moved through this Boston Red Sox system that is awful right now. The Red Sox are awful. So I could see him coming up pretty soon, like within the next 6 to 12 months, a major hype on that call up. And then before I just go to all the, I don't want to talk about the soccer ones because we did a soccer show yesterday, but Tiger Woods, I think buying Tiger Woods right now after his injury at the Masters is not a bad idea. And it's actually the first time I was able to pull off a Dr. Chad move. So I was looking at these and I thought, I bought a PSA 10 Tiger Woods 2001. I have it right here with me in my little eBay validation, whatever.
Nice.
This card, bought a PSA 10. It's the old label PSA, but I'm okay with that. I bought it the Sunday that he withdrew from the Masters. I bought it for $268, which was cheaper than it had been going previously. But when I bought that one, I noticed there was a 9.5 out there, SGC 9.5. So I just bid on it, and I said my highest bid would be $100 because I paid $268 for this PSA 10, and according to charts, that was a good deal at the time. I ended up getting the 9.5 for $77.
Yes.
That thing is getting cracked and sending straight to PSA.
Yes, it is.
Because I have 200-ish dollars of profit margin potentially in a 2001 Tiger Woods.
I may look up, if you don't know off the top of your head, while we pass it over to Duke, I may look up what a PSA 9 of that card is going for, just to see what your floor is. But great move, Lefty. Great move. And make that PSA submission as random as possible, my brother.
Always. I'm just interested in green, bro. That's right.
That's all that matters. Brian Steeler 714, loyal audience member. Want to give him a shout out because Lefty just spewed a lot of knowledge on baseball buys. And I have to believe that Brian Steeler 714 is fired up about Logan Ohop, Ohoppy, and or some opportunities with a broken O'Neill Cruz, who I believe will also come back strong as well. Anyway, Brian Steeler 714, thanks for all the support. All right, so Duke, after all of the sports cards that Lefty is buying, which is a lot, who are you buying?
Well, first, like I said, I do like the Caleb call for the same reasons you guys do. You know, this year we're seeing a lot of cards sold. We sold all our Bryces, all our CJs. We didn't have a lot of them, and a lot of it's this, you know, the older unlicensed product, but they're still selling in the hype of the draft. And you've got, like, call it four quarterbacks kind of sharing the spotlight, and it's pretty clear that looks like Caleb's going to have a spotlight to himself. He'll be like that kind of the alpha male of that class. And so buying it now, while everyone's talking about Bryce and CJ, I think it's a great time to buy Caleb. And also love the O'Neill Cruz call, like coming from like the real estate world, real estate development world. You know, I love the idea of buying distressed real estate. You know, I bought a ton of Tatis last year once he got suspended because his values were like at 25% of the peak. And I think Cruz's prices probably won't come down that much, but you'll see some opportunity. On that slightly distressed real estate front, I like looking at quarterbacks right now. The time of year, as an investor, I'm not buying a ton of baseball or basketball. I'm looking to sell more, but so football is kind of where I'm doing the most buying. And of the quarterbacks that I would consider slightly distressed real estate that are still really good quarterbacks, I would put Josh Allen and Herbert in that category. We just bought a big Herbert at the Mint Collective. And we got it at like 50% of his August value. I thought that was pretty tremendous for a guy that's really good at football. Now, I know he's got the fumble issues. I do think his injury that he kind of had towards the end of last year had something to do with the performance and the outcome of the Bills. If you look at how he played in the playoffs this year compared to when he was healthy a year earlier, it was a different guy. And then Herbert, I do understand the argument against Herbert, basically the team that he's on, and that will they ever have a real success in the playoffs? And the answer is maybe not, but I think he's such a good talent and people are down on him. And so I think it's just a great time to buy. And he'll do something in the next 12 months that will make his prices go up. He'll have a good stretch. Maybe they'll actually win a playoff game. Maybe he'll get traded to a different organization that knows how to win playoff games. I would say if the quarterbacks, Herbert and Allen's where I see the most opportunity, but you're never going to go wrong with Trevor or Burrow as well. If you're going to get those guys, it's now or, call it June, but you won't get a chance to buy those guys again for a while at a discount.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's all three of those guys are phenomenal buys right now. And just even the old Andy Kaysen.
Where's good old Andy?
Andy,
heard from him in a while.
I know we're going to get a football card strategy show going with Andy, but he did submit. He was one of the stars of the sports card strategy show until last week. He had a great submission. So everybody needs to go check that out at youtube.com/Paul Hickey. And you'll see Andy. He's phenomenal, but yeah, he just always says sell all your football cards in August, Duke. And I think that your strategy of buying what you bought at the Mint Collective from a Herbert standpoint, and then even just listing it, selling it in the shop, however you want to do that. You got multiple avenues to do that in August is going to be a great play, because then you eliminate the risk of how well the Chargers play and everything like that. So great call. All right. Now moving over to who we're selling. This one is going to shock the audience. So get ready to be shocked, everybody, because my main man has been the Ant-Man. So don't think that I'm giving up on the Ant-Man long-term, because I'm not. I still love him. But I want to show you guys what I found here in Market Movers. You can use Market Movers for a lot of different things. But if you look at the Anthony Edwards player index, just all of his cards in general, and this spans about 1,300 cards with sales. 365 days, his value is down 50%. 180 days, down 27%. In the last 90 days, down 2%. In the last 60 days, down 3%. In the last 30 days, down 3%. In the last 14 days, up 0.9%. In the last 7 days, up 4%. 0.4%. Now, you may be asking yourself, what the hell is Paul talking about? I shouldn't sell Anthony Edwards until he crescendos into some amazing moment in the next 2 or 3 years. Yes, I agree. If you are not like me and you actually have patience, you should wait. But if you are looking to put a little bit of money back in that sports card strategy bankroll, right? If you are looking to crystallize some profits that you may have right now based on what you bought Anthony Edwards cards for, we are looking at the only window in the last 365 days where his cards are not down significantly. So while he has been one of my top buys for the last year, he is now potentially a sell. And I am listing my Ant-Man cards, not because I don't believe in him, not because he's struggling a little bit. If you watch him play, he's struggling a little bit. He's not the full Ant-Man that we've seen. He might be a little banged up at the end of this season. But they are in a series. They did get crushed against the Nuggets in game one last night. I get all that. Maybe not the best time to crystallize profits, but it is the only time in the last 365 days where his cards are up in value. There is hype among the NBA playoff season. And it is not a horrible time to list your Anthony Edwards cards. So I am saying, everyone, don't be afraid to list the Ant-Man. He could be a sell right now. Lefty, over to you.
All right. My sells are got to be Jared Kelenic. We've talked about this over the past couple of months, and I told you guys to sell him in spring training because I didn't believe in him. Well, now I do believe in him, and I also think he's still a sell. Because sometimes when we say at Sports Card Strategy Show that cards are a sell, it's like, dang it, this didn't work out. Just get out while you can, blah, blah, blah. This is not one of those. Jared is absolutely destroying baseballs right now. Like, he is the guy currently in this month. He probably should be one of the AL players of the month at the end of April. And he's the guy that the Mariners expected and hoped that he would be next to Julio Rodriguez last 2 years. And now he's like, okay, he's taking that confidence that he was destroying AAA the last couple of years. He would get the call up because they're like, okay, obviously Jared's incredible at baseball. He would get the call up and he would get like the mental batting yips and just not know how to play baseball when he would get to the major leagues again. He had success in spring training, and we talked about early on in spring training this year, like maybe that is his mentality saying, okay, I can play at this level. I can play at this level. He's still very young, and he's an incredible baseball player. I think he's a sell currently, but I'm very excited that he is a sell because there's so many people that invested really heavily in Kelenic over the last couple, like 2-3 years. And I think if you trusted yourself or if you were just stubborn enough to hold on, now is a great time to move on from your Jared Kelenic cards and watch him ride into the sunset. It's a good move away from Jared Kelenic at this point. Another sell I have is Luis Arias. Holy moly, he is destroying baseballs. He is doing stuff right now that if you look at his numbers, is comparatively, now this is a massive overreaction, and Peter Apple from Just Baseball made a TikTok about this the other day. If you look at his percentages, he is in the same league as Barry Bonds and Ted Williams right now. What? A guy who's not that guy. He is not that guy. One of those guys is not like the other two, and it's Luis Arias. So if you have any Luis Arias cards, get out of them now. He is up 179% on the month. He's not a guy that we ever told you to invest in. It's basically like when Grant Williams cards went up flying a couple of years ago in the playoffs. Get out of them while you can, because he is not going to be this guy towards the end of the year. This Marlins team is doo-doo and a half, and you just need to get out while you can. But he is playing incredible. I also believe Angels players besides Trout and Shohei and Logan, as we talked earlier today, sell these guys. They are playing really well right now. I think there will be dog days of summer for the Angels, and I think you could take residual impact right now on the Angels or potentially the Rangers playing well on prime time, as the Rangers absolutely creamed the Astros on Sunday Night Baseball last night, which shout out to my boys. You can do it. Great turnaround. I'll leave it at that because you talked about Ant, and I'm like, should we sell Maxi or at least list our cards right now? But he's down 4% and 5% over the last 14 days.
Yeah, and you and I have like never really prepped for this show. We're like 78 episodes in, and we've never really, really.
Yeah, we just come and we're just like, hey, what are we talking about?
Yeah, and it's great that we're on the same page with Ant-Man. And it's really just, and I had a fleeting thought about Maxi as well. It's really just kind of, okay, it's NBA playoff time. Like, do we sell these guys? And I think that's a natural question that we should all be asking and looking at. So good stuff, Lefty. Duke, over to you, man. Who are you selling?
Yeah, so most of my sales are going to be either now or getting ready to sell or NBA. So I look at the playoffs and try to predict who's going to win every series and try to predict if there's a time to sell a person, when's the best series or time. And I do think the West is like the Wild West. I don't think anyone really knows what's going to happen there. Obviously, the Suns are emerging as a favorite, but betting-wise. But it's, all of the series are toss-ups. And you saw yesterday, like, a lot of the favorites lost. So I don't know what to do in the West, but I do think that the Kings, because they're playing Golden State and because they've already started off well, I think looking, if you have any De'Aaron Fox or Malik Monk, I think this is the week to kind of get them queued up and ready to go. They may win the series, and if so, maybe there's a better time ahead, but I will take my base hits with De'Aaron Fox. I don't have a lot of Monk, but I bought a lot of De'Aaron Fox about 3 months ago. So I think I'm going to take your word for it. And I've got my big one. I'm a one of one. I think I'm going to auction it this week based on your advice. I'll let you know how it goes.
Which also means, hey, if he loses money, it's on you.
Yeah, that's fine. That's basically what I've signed up for doing this whole show.
So I won't cry over spilt milk, okay? And I'll do a bunch of them, so I won't just have one auction. I'm sweating all
week.
What's
your one of one though? What is it?
It's a De'Aaron Fox Crown Royal white box one of one.
List that puppy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I took that to the Mint, and there was a seller from Sacramento, and I thought for sure like they would want to buy it, and they weren't interested. It kind of surprised me a little bit, but we'll see if there's some lunatic out there like me that would want to buy it. But the other guys,
one of the lefties people in Kentucky would want to buy that.
They definitely would, bro. I actually think the market in Kentucky is probably healthier for him than the market in Sacramento. I feel like the people in Sacramento are like, we don't believe it. We're not really sure if this is going to happen or not. The people in Kentucky are like, De'Aaron Fox, he's the freaking God. You know, like, let's just get it.
Yeah, that I hope you're right. So the other guys, like, I don't have a lot of Rui, but he had probably the best game of his life yesterday. So if you have any Rui, I would get that on the market like now. And then you mentioned Maxey and Embiid both. The East, while the West is very unpredictable, I think the East is lining up to be more predictable what's going to happen. I think the top three seeds are very strong. They're going to advance. I think Philly's going to give Boston a heck of a series, but I do think Boston, if that comes, you know, 2-3 matchup, I do think Boston's going to get by. So I think Maxey's best time to sell is during that series. Like if it's a competitive series, and I think Maxey's still one of those guys that like the NBA heads and sports card collectors know who he is, but the general public still doesn't know who he is. If you go to the office down the street, you ask 30 people at the water cooler, 3 out of 30 people will know who he is. But the other 27 will know Tatum and will know Embiid and will know Giannis, but they won't know Maxey. And I just do think when you watch Maxey play for the first time, he's so explosive. Yeah. He just gets your attention. And so I'm going to plan to queue up my Maxey's to sell during that series, assuming it's Boston versus Philly. I'm going to assume that Philly's going to lose, so I'm going to try to sell it before they lose to Boston.
Love it. That's good stuff. All right, guys, let's go over to audience Q&A. Shout out to Oh My Shoes. We're going to be seeing more and more of Oh My Shoes, hopefully, on the channel. More on that to come. Just listed his first hockey card. Put up his first hockey card. It is a Wayne Gretzky 1998-99 Rangers team checklist. That's an interesting one. And then the question from Oh My Shoes, Lefty, help him out here. What is the best soccer wax to buy? His wife and he are wanting to invest in some soccer cards. She personally wants to purchase a hobby box. He's kind of wanting to get some singles. I love the marital spat, if you will, over soccer cards. This is something we have not had on the show before, and I love it. Would you have a good suggestion on a hobby box to buy? Shoes saw a 2022-23 select box, but haven't seen any select soccer cards in the past. So he's a little bit unsure of that. Also, the Targets and Walmarts around Arkansas always have soccer retail boxes. Should we start off there? Lefty, let's point Shoes in the right direction here.
I would buy a Topps Chrome, either Topps Chrome or something that has to do with the Champions League is where I would start. So usually there are hobbies in relation to the Champions League. If you're going to buy a retail product, I don't like Prism personally. I don't think it sells well. And so if I find product at Walmart or something, I'm always going to buy a Merlin first. So a Merlin blaster. And then like underneath that would be like Mosaic, just because I think the card quality is pretty good. Like the card stock quality, and then I would go Prism underneath that. But Topps Chrome would be my favorite soccer buy, and then Merlin would be second probably. But and even there are Merlin hobbies as well, but I don't think they sell as well as just a base Topps Chrome Champions League. And typically when we're looking at autos and things, and typically of our favorite players, they are those Topps Chrome Champions League sets that are the ones that are really rising to the top. And that in our sports card strategy rankings, most of the ones that are listed in terms of our card data has that Topps Chrome. So if you're going to go out and buy a hobby box, you're not going to find that at a retail store. obviously, because it's called a hobby box. But you can, I would go and do that if your wife's wanting to do that. But at the same time, I and we would recommend singles primarily from an investing standpoint.
Yeah. So there was one like hobby box that I had fun opening, and it was a couple years ago, and it was like a 2021 Chronicles soccer hobby box. And I wouldn't normally recommend Chronicles, but in this release, it had like optic rookie ticket autos and like legendary ticket autos. And it had La Liga, Serie A, and Premier League all together. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's an inch. I'm interested into what that one's selling for now. I mean, if you could get that one for like between $200 and $300, there's a guaranteed auto in there, and there's some other hits, and there's some rookies from all the different leagues. I do agree with Lefty on the Topps Chrome 100%. I wonder what a 2020 Topps Chrome UCL hobby box goes for these days, because you've got Jude, right? You've got Pedri rookies, and there's some other solid rookies in that class, I believe, Lefty. I'm not sure, but I would avoid.
So here's one for sale for $879.
Yeah, so it's not cheap, and that's because you've got those guys in there, right?
Yeah.
And there's autos in there too. Like I know Pedri signed. I think
even guys down our list are in there. Like Camavinga's in there as well. Gio, Pedri. I mean, you've got Haaland in there. You've got Jude Bellingham. What, if you're going to go really just super deep into a hobby box, yes, that's where I would go.
Yeah. And I would go there rather than like the 2022-23 select, because prices are going to be inflated on that because it's a new release. And yeah, we don't know like how that's going to do. There's one single in particular that I'm really intrigued by, and it's Alex Morgan's Kaboom out of the, I believe, 2022 Donruss. Mm-hmm. I'd like to look into that more before I recommend that people buy it, but Alex Morgan Kaboom in that hobby box could be interesting. All right. Up next, Travis Elko is going to try to slab crack another GOAT. There's a Tom Brady 2000 Pacific Crown Royale that he purchased. He got the SGC 7 for $79, I believe. A PSA 8 sells for $140. And I'm not sure, Travis, if you're trying to go up to an 8 or if you're trying to stay at a 7, but it looks like you would kind of break even if it gets a PSA 7, and you would profit by about 40, 50 bucks if you get the PSA 8. So he got the SGC 7 of this Tom Brady 2000 Pacific Crown Royale rookie royalty number 2, just a base card. Nice like $79 play, I think. I think it fits Chad's MO of have that high floor, low risk, try to get the upside, see what happens. So that's interesting. All right, another one for Lefty, and maybe Duke wants to weigh in on this one as well. Jake Williams asks, is Oscar Colas now a sell? This is a guy that we had as a buy on our sports card investment report at nooffseason.com. Mm-hmm. Intriguing player for the White Sox. Lefty, what do you think of Oscar Colas right now?
I like him. He just mashes. Like he's not going to be like a guy who's super athletic, not going to be a guy that's going to blow you away. Similar profile to a Yordan, nowhere close to being that good, but he's a guy that's just going to hit, and like that's just what he's going to do. I think he's a guy that the White Sox specifically right now, nobody's super hyped about them. So you could either sell him now and get probably a small return, or wait till he does something immaculate, and that's very rare. So I would still say yes, Colas, even though he's on our list and he's listed lower because he just doesn't have the 5 tools that some of the other players have in our list. I would sell him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even still, I mean, we're past a call up now, but still I would list it, especially if you're in the winning margin.
Cool. Jake said he got a PSA 10 too, so I think that's a good indicator to sell. Duke, do you have anything to add to that one or any of the questions so far?
Yes, the Oscar, somebody I've studied their values like in the last few months, so I don't have much input there. But typically, I would say the call up in the early hype price spike exceeds almost anything else they do their first three years of things. Yep. You look at like J-Rod, even what he did last year, his prices spiked more for the Home Run Derby than his actual performance throughout the season. And so if you have a little price bump, I would take the base hit. And then back to the soccer quick, I just want to give a plug to No Offseason. As a shop owner, I know baseball, basketball, and football rather well. I know very little about soccer. And so we don't carry a lot of wax. We carry a little bit. What Lefty said is probably right. But what we do sell, like when the World Cup Prism singles seem to sell for us. Mm-hmm. And then No Offseason, such a great tool for us because people come in all the time. They want to sell cards to us. In baseball, basketball, football, we know what we want to buy. We know what we don't. We use No Offseason. Like, we literally pull up your list. And if it's in the top 25 guys, we'll buy it. And if it's not, we just pass on it. And if it's over $100, really, it's just like the top five guys that we buy. Like, we sell a ton of – well, any Messi or Ronaldo will sell in a week or two at our store.
Yeah.
So we'll buy almost anything that, you know, if it's got their faces on it. But – just good wanted call. To give you a shout out
from
to
a
No
shop perspective.
Thanks, Duke. Appreciate that. And if there's ever a Sophia Smith card that wanders into your shop, you might want to take a look at that as well.
Hey, I did last night. I bought a Trinity and I bought a Alex Morgan.
Let's go.
Nice.
I need a Sophia to round out the trio there.
Come on, Duke. Let's go.
Love it. Love it. All right. Up next, Jim Cunningham. This is a great question. I love this. 2021 Optic Contenders Trevor Lawrence rookie ticket auto sealed from Panini. He bought it midseason last year when the Jags were 2-7 or 2-8. I love this, Jim. Good work. He bought it for $400 and he's not trying to pat himself on the back, but he wants to frame it. We love it. Built-in profit margin already. He's trying to decide, though, whether to sell or hold long-term. As we always mention, and we mentioned in our most recent show about Ohtani, you can always buy back lower when we're not in a hype cycle. Jim says, my only hesitancy is that this kid is on a rocket ship right now, that he has Calvin Ridley and one more year of maturity. He just takes his place in the top three of the league with Mahomes, Burrow, and simply can never be bought back at the same price. So Jim's kind of worried about if he sells T-Law now, this rookie ticket auto sealed from Panini, is he missing out on potential future profits? He says either way he skins the cat, he's already in the money. Question is, should I leave it in the sealed Panini one touch or roll the dice with PSA? I don't see any glaring defects, but it's tough to really take a good look outside of the sealed case. Keep up the good work on the pod. Thanks for your effort, Jim. Really appreciate the question. Great question. Lefty, over to you. What do you think?
Panini does have a history of this is coming from other guys in the hobby that know Panini well. They have a history of just messing up cards and then putting them like with bumps and lines and whatever. To answer that part of the question, I would keep it in the stickered one touch because it looks official still, and you don't have to worry about, you know, is it going to come back in an eight because of some surface scratch or something like that. Additionally, I would not sell it right now. Not at all would I sell it right now. I have a T-Law behind me here on the shelf that's going to be sold in, next year or next, the hype for the next season because of all you just said. And if anything, I think he's a relative buy right now because of all the crap that's going to happen for him. And people just love to love him. And I love investing in players that people love to love. It's
yes.
easy. They're liquid, you know? Well, and so I don't want, we've talked about this all the time. I don't want to try to convince somebody to buy my card. You do not, when T-Law is playing good, you don't have to convince anybody to buy it. People are begging you. You don't even have to have it for sale. It's like when the housing market was crazy and people were knocking on people's doors saying like, do you want to sell this house? And you're like, no, I've lived here for 15 years. Like, people are going to be knocking on your door saying, like, can I buy your Trevor Lawrence auto that's in the background of your show? People love to love him, man.
Duke, what do you have to add on this Trevor Lawrence? What do you think? What would you do?
Yeah, I would probably echo what Lefty just said. And that's why I would not sell it right now. I would look at the prices in August during the fantasy football draft hype and preseason hype, and then decide if you want to sell it then or wait till the playoffs start. It looks like they're going to have an easier division. They're going to have an easier road to the playoffs. I mean, he's the class of that 2021 rookie class, and I'm very long on Trevor. So
yeah, yep. Same here. Chad is in the comments. Chad Gill says, hold till July, sell in July, buy back in October. The Dr. Chad Gill. I say, July or August, typically August, but July, August, sell. Jim, thanks for the question. And then, yeah, I think you can buy back it, December. There's usually like a huge dip in all sports cards. So I would look for that strategy. All right. Speaking of Chad Gill, giving him another shout out on the show. He brings it strong every week, whether he's on the show or in the comments. This one's for Lefty. Edouard Julien. Okay. Right. This is the Dr. Chad is going deep on this one, saying since he was an 18th round draft choice, he has zero big league cards as of right now. The only card I could find is his 2022 Wichita Wind Surge minor league card. We love Chad. If you can find this one, it would be a great flip opportunity if he does well. Chad's, I said to Chad, like, what's up with the zero major league cards and your recommending him or you're buying him? And Chad said, I looked at his 130 point on his minor league card. It's sold on eBay 11 times so far this year. Granted, 9 of them have been in-person autograph cards. One was a non-auto and one was a PSA 9. And Chad was like, hey, do with it what you will with this information. I'm just feeding it to you. So I wanted to ask Lefty on the show, have you heard of this guy and what's going on? I know he just got called up.
Of course I've heard of him. It's like an insult, but the Eduardo Julien came up and had a day for Minnesota Twins. And his family was there in New York. They scored like 9 runs in the first inning on this Yankees team. And Eduardo Julien hit a rocket single to right field and then a nice Oppo Taco home run in the first inning of his major league career. So not only did he have 2 hits in his first 2 at-bats, but they were in the first inning of a game, and it was a single for his first hit and then a home run for his next hit. You could not have more hype cycle right now than him. Like, he is bursting at the seam for, like, at the very, very top of his market. So, Chad, do not fall for buying this guy's minor league cards right now. Please don't fall for that, because in a week, Edouard Julien will be hitting like, you know, 240 or something, which is great, but people won't care. He plays for the Minnesota Twins, Chad. Do not buy this. He does have some Topps Now cards right now because of his incredible debut. His Topps Now cards are going for about $5-6 bucks. So that is his first card with a RC logo on it, actually. So you could buy that for $5-6 bucks if you want, but please don't buy this card I'm looking at right now. That's a minor league card for 130 bucks.
Chad, good work though. I mean, Lefty's right, but in fairness to Chad, I think he submitted this to me several days ago, and I think he was just trying to time the quick flip. But I did want to bring it up as a matter of discussion, because I do think people try to time the quick flip and miss the timing. And you have to, when you time things, you have to realize, you have to build in time for baseball. There's a game every day.
Yep.
And so unless you're several months ahead of your flip, there's a good chance that it won't happen in the timing that you want it to happen. And the reason I say months is because even weeks go by very, very quickly. When you're waiting for a card, you're getting the card, you're getting it ready to sell, you're listing the card. Before you know it, to Lefty's point, the guy's already come up, mashed, raked, whatever, and now he sucks or he's back down in the minors. So anyway, just wanted to bring that up.
Let me also say one more thing on this. As a card guy, it's so easy for us to watch sports and not enjoy it now. Like, it's so easy to watch things and be like, oh crap, dude, I got that. Okay, that guy's mashing. I got to go figure out if I have any of his cards and stuff. Let's take a step back from that for a second. We got into this hobby, one, because we like making money with something we like to do, but two, we like watching sports. Most of us love watching sports. And so sometimes with like Edouard Julien and stuff, there's not really a place we could have prepared for to get his cards. Like, it wouldn't have been a card. Even if, you know, 6 months ago, I wouldn't have told you, hey, this guy's pretty good. Here's some minor league cards. We should get in on him. Because like I would have recommended that we won't invest until he gets Bowman cards. And then some guys just don't hit our profiles. But there are always going to be guys that come up that we should just enjoy watching. And I think Edouard Julien's story of like him coming up, hitting in his hometown, all that kind of stuff, is just beautiful sports narratives. And so sometimes I'm not talking about Chad specifically, but sometimes I forget to pull myself back and just enjoy watching sports again rather than thinking about money and sports cards and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point. And the funniest part of this whole discussion is that Chad actually made this play and made money off of it. He says, well, he bought 2 weeks ago some of the
If you bought it 2 weeks ago, that's
$24 and sold yesterday for $75.
Okay, fair. I thought he was like wanting to buy now. I was like, no, this is the worst time in the world to buy this card.
I think it's a good discussion though. All right, up next, from my new friend Gloria Kazub. Kind of a funny story on why we're friends. I'll get into that maybe in a future episode. We don't have time today, but our Toronto Maple Leaf hockey cards from the 1960s, particularly 1967, of much value. I did not know the answer to this off the top of my head, so I wanted to take it on the show. Gloria, thanks for your question. Nice to meet you last week virtually via email. So I did a little bit of research on this. You've got some cards that are selling raw for about $10, but you know, around $10. And then I wanted to go into a little bit of data on eBay. Then it appears that Bobby Hull has the most valuable. Bobby Orr, my bad. Bobby Orr, Boston Bruin, has the most valuable card from the 1967 top set. Not sure on Maple Leafs. A lot of the Maple Leafs players look to be going for between 10 and 20 US dollars. But the Bobby Orr recently sold 1967-68 Topps hockey card 92, sold on April 2nd for $600.85 Canadian, 42 bids. So some of you in the audience may know more about the vintage hockey market than I do. I mean, a lot of people will know more about the vintage hockey market than I do. That is
really,
it looks like Johnny Bauer, the goalie, actually is the highest selling Maple Leafs hockey card from 1967. And the most interest in him. I do not know who he is. But there you have it, Gloria. I don't know, Duke or Lefty. Do you have anything to add to Gloria's question, or did I totally cover that?
As far as I'm concerned, you totally covered it, because I don't know a whole lot about vintage cards in general, and hockey is probably the furthest out for me. So,
you know, there's a guy named Cardboard Richard who was featured on the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell on Thursday. And again, you can check that out by going to youtube.com/Paul Hickey. He did a great job showing some vintage hockey cards and some more ultra modern cards out of the Cup. And that's more like a National Treasures-ish type of high-end hockey release from Upper Deck. And Cardboard Richard and I will be launching the Hockey Card Strategy Show right here on the NoOffSeason.com Sports Card Content Network, the Sports Card Strategy Show feed. So stay tuned for that. Gloria, you may like that, because I think Cardboard Richard will have more to add on that. Okay, up next, should we sell Ant-Man now? Talked about that earlier, but David Mills commented on one of the YouTube videos at youtube.com/Paul Hickey. Check that out. Thanks, David. You know, he's holding Ant-Man. He's holding Ant-Man. He's buying Contenders, Flawless, NT, Immaculate, going after it. Those are not cheap cards. You know, he says... Basically, not much chance that the Wolves kick out the Nuggets. I would agree with that. He thinks for now, Ant-Man is seen as second fiddle behind Cat. But he's you know, holding Ant-Man for the long term. Not sure. Cat is signed. Cat is signed for the long term there. So is Gobert. So unless there's some kind of significant trade, I see that trio staying there for a long time. But I do believe Ant-Man is the number one. Whether you sell him now or whether you hold, I think it's probably a decent play. As long as you're selling to crystallize some profits and you bought lower, you're in good shape. And you can, I think you can maybe not buy back in lower, but you, there should be a window in August where you can go buy some basketball cards, Ant-Man included. Duke, I don't think we talked to you about Ant-Man yet. What are you doing with him? Are you buying? Are you selling? Are you fading? What's your strategy with him?
I'm probably now just holding, and then we'll buy it again in the dead of the offseason. I do believe in him long-term. Very marketable guy. Again, and I still think the general public still doesn't know him as well as they should. So I'm your argument to sell now is not a bad one. For me, I'm just going to hold and then buy a bunch more in September.
Yeah, I'm long on him too. So I really like that as well. Rounding out the show here, Jason Miyasaki is a loyal audience member, not only to the Sports Card Strategy Show, but also specifically to the website, nooffseason.com. And he emailed me a very nice email and said, I just wanted to reach out and say thank you for the package of cards and packs. Had a lot of fun opening them with my son. I really appreciate it. You and Lefty are doing such an awesome job on the podcast. Even though it's too early for me to wake up and jump in on the live stream, I listen to it every Monday on the drive to work. Mahalo, Jason Miyasaki. Jason resides in Hawaii, which is why it's a little bit too early for him. And the packs and cards he's referring to, basically what I'm doing is if you're a nooffseason.com premium subscriber monthly, you get a quarterly nooffseason.com power pack of sorts that we're going to be continuing to upgrade. Call it a repack, if you will. We're gonna flush out some of the details on that. And we're also going to send a similar pack, similar power pack type of cards as a thank you to our annual subscribers. So if you're currently registered for that free year premium, when you stay registered, you're probably going to get a little thank you. More on that to come. But thanks, Jason, for the kind words. One reminder is that I want all of you to get in on the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell. This is just kind of a fun show we're doing on Thursdays. Really, all it requires from you is if you just want to show off something sports card related, it could be a card, it could be a set of cards, it could be something that you're looking at buying, could be something that you just bought. Maybe it's an L, maybe it's a W, maybe you want to get our opinion on it. A great way to do that, if you can't get into the Sports Card Strategy Show, is to submit a video to me of your Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell. For details on that, just email me at paul@nooffseason.com. I'd love to get you on the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell. All right, now it's time to round out the show. Let's let Lefty go first here, and then we'll let Duke take us home. Lefty, what do you have to add? Any FC Cincinnati stuff you want to talk about or anything else you want to add before we sign off for the day?
I went to the worst FC Cincinnati game I've ever been to. Well, in a long time this weekend, where it was a 3-hour tornado delay in St. Louis, where I was sheltering in place in a women's restroom in the St. Louis SC Stadium. 10 out of 10 stadium, by the way. Absolutely beautiful what they've done in St. Louis. But we got romped by the St. Louis franchise 5-1 or 6-1. Maybe it's 6-1. 5-1. Something. I don't know. It was a lot. There was a lot of goals flying in. But I love El Tráfico, which is LAFC versus LA Galaxy. Literally never ceases to impress. And there was a 5-goal performance last night. But I am potentially buying Puig, however you wanted to say it. And he's a Galaxy man that's going to go back to Europe. A guy on my watch list.
Let's go. The deep soccer card strategy from the Lefty. I love it. All right, Duke, anything else you want to add? First of all, let me say this. You've done a phenomenal job as the third person in on today's show. I think this has been a really fun show. Hopefully the audience agrees. We'd love the audience feedback. But Duke Dodson from Graybo Sports Cards, I believe, has done a great job. We're going to have him on the show once a month to sub in for our guy, Chad. Chad will be back next week. But Duke, nice work today. What do you have to add before we sign off for this episode of the Sports Card Strategy Show?
I would just like to say I'm really honored to be on the show with you guys. Big fan of what you guys do. I think when I met you, I told you I'm a really big fan of the structure of this show, how you bring in the specialists from the different sports, how you guys think about the hobby, how you guys think of the cards from an investing viewpoint. I've learned a ton from you guys. And so really, it's really cool to, you know, put faces with names and get to chat with you guys. I look forward to our partnership over the next year and seeing what we can do together. I think there's a lot of things we can do to help each other. So I'm excited about that. If you are interested in learning more about our shop, you know, check us out on Instagram. It's kind of where we kind of pump all of our information through. We just started doing PSA submissions last week, for example. We talk about it there. We do our breaks on Instagram Live. We are going to start streaming on a platform soon, doing breaks on a bigger scale, but that's not official yet, so I'll kind of wait and roll that out. Mr. Brusky, thanks for that comment I see there, and definitely hit us up on Instagram. We'll get you that T-shirt out in the mail. But yeah, the last thing I got to say is up the Toffees, man.
Yeah! Let's freaking go, Duke!
Yeah. Dude. I don't know what that means still, but I just it gets me excited when Lefty does that, so I wanted to say it one time.
Love it. This is great. Great work, everybody. Thanks so much for watching and listening to the Sports Card Strategy Show. I am super happy to be doing this. This is your show, everybody. Please let us know what you think of the episode. You can email me at paul@nooffseason.com. You can tweet at Lefty McKee. You can tweet at nooffseason. You can DM at @graybos_cards. Is that right, Duke? At @graybos_cards. Glad I got that right. Everybody, right. Thanks so much. Have a great day. Lefty, I think we should probably
cue
the rock music.